and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This week I'm talking to myself, and I tell you about my family and how we ended up home educating. Like the guests you'll hear over the following weeks and months, I'll also tell you about the things that inspire me and keep me motivated on this journey, as well as the read alouds that we've loved over the last few months. And now, on with the interview. Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of Home Ed Voices. This is a special episode because it was pointed out by various people I've interviewed that I should probably answer my own questions and tell you a bit about who I am as the presenter of this podcast. My name is Katie. I am the primary educator in a home educating family here in the UK. And I'm going to get straight into the first question because otherwise I'm going to answer the first question anyway. Tell me a bit about your family. I will. There is me, Katie. There is my husband, who I've been married to for nearly 13 years. And we have three children. I have my 9-year-old son and my 7-year-old daughter and my 5-year-old daughter. And we've been home educating since my eldest would have gone to school. We live in a house with two chickens who are slowly but surely eating up everything in our garden. Bless them, even though we give them lots of food. And a lot of bees, because my husband likes keeping bees. And looking out in the garden, a lot of wet washing. But there you go. Next question. Why and how, or how did we start home educating? Well, I first heard about home education because I used to read craft blogs in the early to mid 2000s, when craft blogs were very sort of personal things. You know, I made this today, and we did these things, and whatever, in that sort of era of blogging. And I read a lot of people like Soul Mama when she was starting out, and Angry Chicken, and these, you know, a lot of people who I followed for their craft things. I didn't even have children at this point. I was sort of on the cusp of getting married, and I was doing an office job that was not making me very happy. And I used to spend my lunch hours reading craft blogs. And then these people started homeschooling. And I thought, you know, as you do when you don't know what you're talking about, it's a bit weird. But I already knew these people through their blogs, and therefore they knew that they weren't strange people. And most of those people still have blogs. And they're not strange people. And so it sort of set this sort of seed of an idea that, you know, you could make things around your children, you could make things for your children, obviously, and you could live this crafty life. And that homeschooling, because it was mostly Americans, if it was all Americans, I think at that point, not all Americans homeschooling, but I mean, it was all American bloggers that I was reading at that point, you know, that you could do this as well. This could be part of a creative life. And I thought, that looks really cool. After a while, that looks really cool. I bet we never do that. Because, you know, I wasn't even married at that point. Anyway, fast forward a few years, I was still reading these blogs. And the idea was starting to grow, and I had a child, and he was starting to get a bit, little bit older, and I had another child, and I think, like many people do, I joined our local home ed email list, you know, when my eldest was probably about 18 months old, and sort of in that kind of like, I just want to see if there's anybody else doing this in this area. There's loads of people, it turns out, doing this in this area. And so I kind of followed the list quietly in the background, and I think actually I kind of put it on mute for a while. It was right around the time, I kind of joined right around the time the Badman inquiry was going on, which, the short version being, in the last Labour government, they had a big sort of inquiry about home education and whether they needed to do something about it, essentially, and freaked a lot of home educators out, and eventually it kind of didn't. Nothing really happened about it, mostly because a lot of home educators worked really, really hard to educate their councils and educate their MPs and things. So, you know, it wasn't that they just left it alone and it went away. They worked really hard to kind of say, no, look, what is going on at the moment actually is fine. Look, these people are okay. You know, you should leave it alone for a bit. Anyway, so I was, you know, still a new parent, and that was, you know, that all seemed a bit scary, so I kind of muted that for a while. And then as my son got closer to school age, I liked being around them. they were little. He was going to be school age, and I had a toddler, and I had a new baby. And the idea of upending this little sort of life we had at home, to go back and forth to school and everything, I just didn't want to do it. And so I rejoined the group and met some other people in my area, met some people who were in my sort of position, met some people who've been doing it for years, and realised it was something we could do. And had lots of discussions with my husband and got him on board, and we started. We didn't apply for my eldest to have a school place. That felt like quite a rebellious move. We just thought, we'll do it. We'll do it for a bit and see what happens. And we're still doing it. This is like, we're 5 years in, or four or five years in. We will be 5 years in. And it's been fantastic. It's been brilliant. You know. So, next question. What do I love about it? I love that I get to hang out with my kids. I'm quite a homebody and, you know, I'm an introvert. And being around my people is mostly my favourite thing to do. And so, I get to be around them. I get to see them learn stuff. I get to see them make connections with things and have ideas and, you know, run off down rabbit trails of things they're interested in. I get to see them grow and change, and really grow and change right in front of my eyes. And it's lovely. And we get to, you know, rush around to things and potter around to things and all do our own thing. And I really like it. And I like that there's time to do stuff. I loathe the idea of having to get up really early and get everybody off to school and make packed lunches before I'm really fully awake, even though I'm quite a morning person. I loathe the idea of having them come home tired at 3-ish or whatever, and then have to struggle with homework. You know, we don't do sit-downy work after 3 o'clock. It doesn't happen. I'm done, you know, with regards to that. And so are they, which actually, that's not fair. I'm not done with regards to my own stuff, but I'm done with wrangling small people, particularly if they don't actually, not actually in the mood. So I like that we don't have to do that. We can work when it's, you know, a good, effective time for us all to work, and not work when actually we just want to be reading a book. And that's the other thing I love. I love that we can read lots and lots of books. There's lots and lots of time for them to read. And certainly with my eldest, it took a little bit longer. He could do the mechanics of reading, but he didn't want to read. He wanted to listen to audiobooks. And because I think he'd listened to a lot of read alouds and a lot of audiobooks, his comprehension was much higher at the time than his ability to read. And that was manageable because I had this whole community of people around me and via the internet who were saying, that is not the end of the world. He will, you know, he will come good. He will get there. And he did. Last summer, I started to read aloud, you know, whilst we were on holiday, and he nicked off with it at bedtime and came down the next morning and went, I read like 3 pages of that book. And by the next day, he was like, I read, half a chapter. And by the end of the holiday, he was like, oh, we're going to go to a restaurant. Oh, okay, can I take my book? And then he read A Million Beast Quests, and now he just reads everything he can. Anyway. That was a tangent. I'm coming back. It's fine. So that's what I love about it. Books. Okay. What's been the hardest part? The hardest part at the beginning was having people that I kind of needed on my side basically say I was crazy. That was really hard. And I was being irresponsible. And these people have subsequently come around and they're pretty supportive. But yeah, initially, you know, there was this, it happens to a lot of people, it's this new and exciting thing. And some people, you know, you tell them and you're nervous about telling, you know, your wider family or whatever. And they kind of go, well, that's crazy. Yeah, so that was really hard. It was really hard because a couple of people sort of wouldn't let it go and say, yeah, okay, I don't agree with you. But, you know, you're going to do it anyway, whatever. There's some, you know, there were a couple of people who kind of were like, yeah, but you shouldn't. Yeah, but what are you doing? Yeah, you're going to, you know, it's not going to work. That was really hard. These days, what's really hard? It's really hard getting everything done sometimes, she says, looking around at her messy kitchen. It's quite hard cramming everything in, and the motivation starts with the parent. And so if you're not very well, full of hay fever at the moment, if you're not very well, or you're really tired for whatever reason that's not really in your control, sometimes it is in your control, but you know, if you're really tired or whatever, you're the person who know, there's some motivation, obviously, there's some motivation, and probably left to their own devices, they would do lots of play, which is good, and they would probably still peruse loads of books, which is also good. So, you know, there's learning going on, but if you want to be maintaining things, it comes from you, and that can be quite hard. So what have I done to make that easier? I guess I do quite a lot of work for myself. I read a lot of blogs. Not that you have to, but I read a lot of blogs with people that I really kind of like and who are motivating. I listen to podcasts, and that'll turn up in a later episode, an interview I just did. We have a whole conversation, so I won't redo it here, about, you know, people who are really kind of inspiring and things. But yeah, I read stuff. I follow lots of Instagrams of people I find really inspiring, including lots of people in the UK. And I just look at what other people are doing, I guess. Not necessarily always for ideas and not for like, oh, I must change this and whatever, but to feel like I'm part of something. To feel like I'm part of something bigger, and that we all have these same struggles and we all get through, and that what we're doing is important, and it's nice to be reminded that we're doing this because we want to be with our kids and we want to witness their learning, I guess. So yeah, that's what I do. Okay, so what's a typical day in the life of our home educating family? It's changed a lot over the years, but this is the current one. The average day is we all get up, we have breakfast, and everyone hopefully gets dressed, and then we meet and have what we call the kids should see this, which is based off an email, no, a website, which also doesn't email, of the same name, which are basically interesting videos, like short videos, educational videos. You know, I get it as an email and it just turns up in my inbox and I pick out stuff that's interesting. So I pull out stuff from there, I pull out stuff from like TED Ed and various other YouTube channels and stuff that do, you know, interesting educational-y stuff. I will put those in the show notes. So we do about half an hour of watching some of those, about all different things, about STEM things, about like nature and animals, about history things sometimes, kind of all manner of things really. And sometimes we go down rabbit trails of like, oh, well, I want to know about this now, so we go and follow that. So we do about, I don't know, half an hour of that. And that seems to kind of, I don't know, wake everybody up, you know. And then we do, I do some read aloud. It's kind of a variation of a morning basket. Morning basket is a kind of, you know, the kind of standardy thing. I will put links about morning basket. But morning basket is a sort of standard thing, is a whole sort of stack of books. Wasn't really working for us. I kind of tried it off and on for a while. I kind of split it into two bits to make it work for us now. So we have our morning educational videos, which I write down in my folder so I can kind of keep a record of what we've been watching. And sometimes we go back and rewatch ones that we've watched before that they remember. And then I do a morning read aloud, which at the moment is The Secret Garden. And I also try and read from a non-fictiony, a little bit from a non-fictiony book. We've been reading about a book about birds. So I do that, and then usually after that, we start on table work, which is our sort of more formally thing. That's usually a math lesson. We use Maths No Problem, which I really like. It's got nice short lessons. It builds up the skills in a kind of really kind of piece by piece way. And it's worked really well for us. So we do a maths lesson. Everybody does a maths lesson. Usually one-on-one with me. My table work doesn't last. It doesn't take very long. So I can kind of just get through person by person. And then my youngest will do some sort of phonics and sight word work. And my older ones will do some grammar work. That's what we're working on at the moment. Grammar and spelling. It's kind of what we're focusing on. And so they'll do some of that. And then that probably pretty much takes us to lunchtime. And so we have some lunch. And then after lunch, it depends. It depends on the day. Sometimes we have other friends come over and everyone gets to kind of play and hang out and explore and do whatever. Sometimes we have sort of extracurricular classes outside of the house. We have music lessons. They go to a drama group. They're part of a climbing class. So sometimes we're out and about doing those things. And sometimes we're just, you know, at home. And they're playing and reading and bouncing on the trampoline and doing their own projects and building with Lego and listening to audiobooks. always listening to audiobooks. And then everything is kind of, you know, in amongst there is screen time that they want to watch. That's usually over lunchtime at the moment, which works quite well. And or Game Boy time, you know, they play gaming instead, maybe. And yeah, that's kind of our day. Theoretically, there needs to be some tidying up that gets done among there before Daddy gets home, so that he doesn't feel like he needs to tidy everything up, which he shouldn't. So yeah, that's our days. It works, you know, at the moment it works really well for us. When it stops working or gets a bit stale, I'll mix it up and we'll do something else. But it's usually quite an organic process. New ideas come in, or I just find it. Oh, I was going to say about the other part of the morning basket thing. So then the other thing I do is at bedtime, I do a read aloud. I've been doing a read aloud for years. So we have a daytime read aloud at the moment, which sort of just organically happened. And now we've got we always have our bedtime read aloud. And what I try to do is move some of the sort of morning basket stuff she does in bunny ear fingers into our bedtime. And so at the moment we are reading the Children's Garden of Verse, is it the Robert Louis Stevenson poetry. I try to have a bit of poetry, and we've been doing the Goodnight Stories for I'll find the links, but basically, you know, the sort of modern biographies of like amazing women, and there's a good one of, you know, interesting and sort of diverse men, and we've been alternating books. I started by alternating books, and then they were like, please, no, can we have from the other one as well? So we've been doing kind of one of each. And you know, what was quite good was last night we swapped over bedtime routine, and my husband read stories and things, and then I came up, and my eldest was going into his room to start his epic reading in the evening portion of the day, and which seems to go on for ages, but he's like, no, I have to start now. And he was like, don't read any of the biographies because I don't want to miss one, which is a good sign that actually they're really enjoying them. So we do that, and then we have some of our read aloud. We're kind of in between books now, read aloud at the moment, so I don't know what we're reading. I think we're reading a Lulu book, and they're really good. I need to try and find some more of those. I will put about those in the show notes. Okay, so next question. What is going on for home educators in our area? Loads of stuff's going on for home educators in our area. Well, there's loads of us. I don't drive, and we don't have a car. So that kind of, it's quite a good limiter for what we can do, because there's a lot going on. And, you know, there's a lot going on in the villages and in the smaller towns around us. It's not just like everybody has to pile into the city. So we tend to go to stuff that's relatively nearby, and that happens to suit us pretty well. But there are weekly meetup groups, and there are weekly activities, you know, sports and meetups at the ice rink, and they're really good. Like there's a good adventure playground near us, and there's a regular meetup there which has been going for years, which is a really good introductory. That's what most people, it's like it's their introductory group. It's where they go to kind of actually meet other home educators and realise that we're actually pretty normal people. And so yeah, there's loads going on. There's loads going on via Facebook, but I don't use Facebook. There's loads going on via a sort of slightly aged Yahoo group. There's loads of people organising kind of one-off trips or a series of trips to local museums or to museums in other cities, and like events and things. There's loads of stuff going on. There's loads of home educators. There just is. Next question. Do I have any resource recommendations for other home ed parents? Yeah. Loads. Some of which have come up in later podcasts, so I don't really want to repeat those. So, yeah, what am I going to recommend? I'm going to recommend that you, if you are really new to home education, that you get on something like Instagram and search for, you know, Home Education UK or Home Education. If you know, homeschooling is really what the Americans call this. In the UK, people tend to call it home education. So go and have a look at other, you know, there are lots of really amazing blogs, a lot of which are in the US, and they're really inspiring. But if you actually want to see what people around you and in this country are doing, I would go onto places like Instagram and, you know, look up home education as a hashtag and home education UK and things like that as a hashtag, and start following other home educators, because there's loads of really inspiring people and they're doing really interesting things, and they're they're showing you slices of ordinary British life with home education. So that's a really good starting place. There was another good book. We're going to talk about sort of British centric things, which I'm now going to just gently pull up on my phone. No, I'm not going to bring up my phone. Which I think I will double check and I'll stick it in the show notes. It's called How Children Learn. How Children Learn at Home. That's what it is. And that talks, it's a British book, and it was, it's sort of like a properly researched kind of a book, and just talking about home education in Britain, basically. It's a few years old now, but I think it's still really relevant. And if you really want a British sort of side of things, then that's good. That's really good education. Otherwise, also have at least one book, if not two, which I will also stick in the show notes, which often are lots of accounts of people kind of talking about what they've done and, and how they've overcome problems and things whilst home educating their children in the UK. And they're really inspiring. So that's what I would recommend to other home ed parents. Book recs for kids and or read alouds. Oh, so many. We're really into graphic novels at the moment, and so I guess I'm going to recommend some of those. They will turn up on the blog as well, but I mean, obviously in the show notes, but there's some posts about that, collecting a lot of stuff together. What have we really enjoyed? Actually, I'm not going to talk about graphic novels first. The books that we've most enjoyed recently were the two Squirrel Girl books, which are by Shannon Hale, which are novels rather than, Marvel graphic novels and comics or whatever. And they were fantastic. If you know anything about the Marvel Universe, or your kids, by osmosis, because mine aren't old enough to actually watch the movies, know anything about the Marvel Universe and like characters and stuff, Squirrel Girl is not in the movies and is like super positive. And this is like her origin story of being a kid who happens to have the equivalent sort of, the sort of human equivalent of what a squirrel's abilities is. So she can jump really far and high, and she's got a big fluffy tail that she has to hide in her trousers. And those books were just fantastic. Shannon Hale and her husband, whose name I can't remember because it's too early in the morning, just write really, really good books. Good early chapter books are also the Princess in Black stories that they write. My seven-year-old adores and reads through really, really quickly, which is a problem because our library system don't have a load of them. They only have a couple. So we're now having to sort of supplement with second-hand copies, but they're fantastic. Well, Shannon Hale also has a really good graphic novel, which is for slightly older kids, called Real Friends, which is a kind of autobiography about friendship groups and how they can go well and also how they can go really badly, which is fantastic. And actually, my seven-year-old read, and I was like, what did you think of that? She was like, I really liked it, but it was a bit sad. But it's fantastic. We also really like the Claudette books, which are Giants Beware, Dragons Beware, and Monsters Beware, and they're graphic novels, and they're really, really fun. I will stick information about those in the show notes. We've been enjoying Zeta the Space Girl, which is written by the dad of a homeschooling family, which is exciting, and doesn't have home educating characters in it, but he then has a second series called Mighty Jack, and that does have a home schooling family in it, which are really cool. So they're worth checking out if you like graphic novels. The other book I'm just looking on our bookshelf right now that we really enjoyed was The Tale of Angelina Brown, which is by David Armand, about a grumpy bus driver who finds a tiny angel in his pocket and the adventures that the community around them have because of this tiny angel. That was a really nice read aloud. Really enjoyed it. It's kind of a slightly strange book in that you have to just kind of go with the idea of it rather than it making super logical sense. But that's good. It was nice. It was like a little fairy. It was like a sort of modern fairy tale. So yeah, I could make so many recommendations, and I will do on the blog, but they will do for now. So there you go. That's my version of the questions I normally ask people. I hope you enjoy this podcast. There are loads of really good homeschooling podcasts in the US, but I felt that we needed to hear, you know, as British home educators, we needed to hear more voices. We needed to see the diversity in our community. And, you know, for new educators, for new home educators to see that there are lots of people doing home education in lots and lots of different ways. So I hope this podcast ends up, you know, supporting you and, you know, and hopefully inspiring you. I've got some fantastic guests and really interesting people coming up on the podcast in the coming weeks. Yeah, I hope you enjoy it. I'm enjoying making it. It's all good. And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things I talked about in this episode, or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes on the blog at learninginanoxfordkitchen.co.uk and click on the link to the Home Ed Voices podcast, or follow the link on Instagram at Home Ed Voices podcast. This is episode one. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcasts, as this helps more people to find out about it. The Home Ed Voices podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hanrot. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher or anywhere else where podcasts are found. This is the first of three opening episodes, so if you enjoyed this, please check out episodes 2 and 3, which are also available. I'll be back with episode 4 in 2 weeks, and until then, here's to more Home Ed adventures.